Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, we are in Miami, Arizona, and very excited about interviewing some of the town's favorite business owners and leaders. And right now, we're going to have a conversation with Courtney Odom, who's with The Popular Records and a handful of other things as well. Welcome, Courtney.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
I'm happy to have a chance to get to know you. We've already started really gabbing away before we even started recording, and I'm like, stop, I want to hear more, let's record. So tell us about The Popular Records and your husband, who's your partner, and it just sounds like there's so many fun things that you guys are up to. I want you to repeat some of what you told me earlier.
Absolutely. So my husband and I have been together for 18 years. And we raised five children. We still have a child at home. She's seven, and all of our other children are adults. We have always been musicians, so he was my next-door neighbor, and I heard Johnny Cash playing. It was, like, such a good song. I walked the line, and I walked past his room, and then I saw that it was him playing his guitar, and he sounded just like Johnny Cash, and I was... Probably that was the moment I was like, I'm gonna know this person a little better. And we've always respected each other because it's really an amazing thing to be in a relationship with someone who's also an artist. I have definitely been in scenarios where people cannot respect that one of your main objectives in life is to get this expression out. And it's one thing I found in a partner, among many other things. But we were really poor. Raising our kids was really hard, and we barely had enough money to get by. Like, we had bucket days when the water would shut off and things like that. So neither he nor I could go to school for music or do anything. Like, we had to get jobs and pay for our kids' upbringing. But Doug never let me get discouraged about music because I was always fully in it. On top of helping me understand music theory, because I kind of came at it like, I have this expression, but he had some knowledge of music theory. We're about 9 years apart. And as we aged together, like, even though I couldn't go to school for music, he was just like, just you hear something in your mind, get it out. Figure out how to get that out. Figure out how to develop this vocal style that you're talking about. So I'd be in the car waiting for my daughter at choir practice, and I'd be like singing, who do I like as a musician, and how can I emulate that vocal? I really feel as a well-adjusted vocal box because I have had tons of time to be like, wow, if I breathe this way, it's going to give me a little bit more raspy noise. You know, that's what I spent with the majority of the time that I was a mother raising so many children. And Doug set tile, and he is 6'8" and a half. So setting tile just was like a back destroyer for him. He didn't make music for a really long time, but one day he found this old banjo pieces that he had gotten when he was 15 years old, because when he was a youngster, he was super into banjo, and that's what he thought he would do with his life. He even called, like, Earl Scruggs. Anyway, he has all these banjo stories, and he was like, I'm going to build one. And he got into this build when he was 15. I think he was 15 around. He was a teenager, and he got into this build, and he realized he was just going to destroy this piece of wood. So he put it away. But when he found it, when he was in his 40s, he decided he would, like, call the company and see if they wanted the wood back, because aged wood is really a beautiful thing to work with, and they didn't want it. And he was really like, what should I do with this wood? So he thought, you know what? I think I'm going to make the banjo that I was going to make when I was a teenager. And lo and behold, he had all the skills because he could build a house from the ground up. He could do carpentry. He can do, you know, electrical. He can do it all. So those skills... He was so surprised by his first banjo attempt. He was so surprised by his first banjo attempt that he decided he would continue on to do it. And the third banjo in was a banjo that could be sold commercially. So at that point, that's kind of how Bruce Berry Banjos was born. But it's also, that's how his creative, once we got past the hump of having all those mouths to feed and all that money that just needed to be churned out every month, then our music just took off. I was playing iPad music for a long time to try to understand electronic music, although I started out as a folk singer because I was really inspired by Janis Joplin, Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen. I had this idea that I wanted to make electronic music. And so Doug encouraged me to figure it out. And we've been really good for each other in that way. I figured it out on iPad, and then I realized I kind of hit my limit with it. Always was making, having crackling issues and stuff when I was trying to play live. So I got more serious about it. And now it's like, that's what I do. That's why we moved up here, because he started Bruce Berry Banjos. I was working, I was manager at a company, and then the house market skyrocketed and we owned a home. So we sold our house. We found this shop that was, it's a building, the Popular, downtown Miami, Arizona, made, constructed in 1926. And like, I think that's when these two shacks came together to be created into one tall ceilinged building. But we put the banjo shop in the front and the record label in the back. At the time, it was Courtney Odom Records. And he started building banjos. And we found our nice rhythm with that. How many banjos? We didn't want it to be our first form of income, because actually it's very taxing to make banjos handmade. So we have a couple irons in the fire. And the record label was just, I never even considered myself a record label owner, because it was like my music. Courtney Odom Records is to release Courtney Odom's music. But what the Popular Records hopes to become is, in the process of this, we have a stage in our home. Our home is like incredible. It's tall ceilings, wood floors. We've got a stage in there. We've got a recording studio in there. So now, as we gain these skills of recording ourselves, performing a live performance, recording ourselves so that we can have music that we sell, and getting things like CDs, records, we hope to, in the future, when we solidify things a little bit more, offer that to the community as a nonprofit record label. So that is the idea of the Popular Records.
I love it. You tell us about the, is it a Model T? No, you have a vehicle parked out front of?
Yes. So we have a Model T, and it's from 1929, and my daughter's named it Timmy. So that's Timmy. Timmy, we bought him because we wanted to make an electric vehicle. Because we came up here because there is a budding art community up here. Also, the cost of living is quite a bit more affordable if you are if you're independent than it is in the Valley. So everything, every move was made to minimize costs, including purchasing Timmy. We haven't had the ability. We have the engine, like we have the motor, and we know who's going to convert the vehicle, but we haven't converted it to electric because it actually is a fully functioning Model T, except the engine needs a little bit of work, so we keep going back and forth, like, do we fix the engine for a little while and then convert it, or, you know, we're on the fence about it.
I love that story, and it's something that the town can enjoy, and it's a landmark.
And, you know, another thing that we were talking about was, you know, when Doug started his banjos and I started to make music. You know, I started to have a friend just say, you need to start releasing music. And I released my first recordings under the record label Fat Nasty Records as a musician named Court Nasty, because it's really fitting for the music that I make. Eventually, I decided I didn't want to pigeonhole myself, and that can be interpreted so many different ways, even though I was more referring to this glitchy beats and kind of like industrial sounds. There's a lot of different ways you could take it, but you know, my name is Courtney Odom. At the end of the day, that was the artist name that I chose, but there We had talked about that.
Well, if you weren't going to tell me, I was going to ask again, because it's too good of a story not to share with our listening audience. So remind me again, how long has it been since you guys moved up here?
About 2 years.
Okay. So you're fairly new to the community, as far as a resident.
Oh, I'm altogether fairly new. I knew nothing about Globe until my husband tried and succeeded at convincing me to move up here.
And since you've been here for a couple of years, what is some of your favorite areas of Miami Globe?
I am scared to answer this question, because if truly people knew what was in my heart about Miami, Arizona, they would be flocking in groves to get here. Because I was not wanting to move to such a small town. I wanted to move to somewhere where I could develop my music. I was ready to go to the next level. Doug could open his banjo shop and, like, you know, have some decent amount of foot traffic. And Doug was like, Globe's the place. And then Miami turned into be the place. And he was so right. And when I got here, I was like, it's going to be great. And then it's going to keep getting greater as it develops. It's so amazing as it is. as it is, the community is amazing. And it's a little gem. And that's why it's scary to almost mention it, because it's in a sweet spot right now of being a beautiful place for anyone who would choose, especially artists. If you were somebody who wanted to be in a less chaotic environment, but you didn't want to have to compromise on the open-mindedness of the residents around you, you would be finding yourself in heaven here. Like, I walk out of my door, and I'm surrounded by some of the most intellectual artists I've ever met, and they're my neighbors. And there's times at this point in the game where I walk out of my house and I feel like I'm kind of in my own little castle, maybe for 5 minutes, and then I run across somebody who I admire and love very dearly. So what I would say to anyone who is kind of looking to explore the Miami area is, like, yes, but do it with caution, because this is a sacred place, and unicorns reside here. You know, it's like very special environment. So as I became a Miami resident, I realized it is going to be very exciting as things continue to develop, and they are at such an alarming rate. But where it is right now is beautiful. You should come see it how it is right now.
Super exciting. You are a great storyteller and clearly a phenomenal musician. And you brought a banjo. Can you tell us about this particular banjo?
Certainly. My husband made this banjo. This is a Bruce Berry banjo original, and it's a one-of-a-kind, one of the only bass banjos in the world. Also, it's specific because I play a short bass. Since long basses, I can't really control them very well. So Doug took the exact strings off my acoustic short scale bass and made a banjo that fit perfectly. And the longer banjo, it doesn't make sense. They're very heavy instruments and compared to a bass. So to get a banjo the size of a bass, it doesn't make sense. So this is one of the first functional models created, period, for the bass banjo. I'm excited to own it. I'm excited to play it everywhere I go. People are like, I have never seen anything quite like that. You've never heard anything quite like it. It's a combination between a regular bass and what sounds like a stand-up bass with phenomenal character. But all of Doug's banjos sound very special because there's not one machined wooden piece. Like, each of it is hand carved from, you know, a raw piece. That's why you can't make so many. They're heirloom pieces, and they're very expensive, but they're incredible. It's an honor to play that bass.
So much history, so much joy, and so much art and creativity. Courtney, it's great to get to know you. Where can we find you on the web? Are you on social media? And how about the popular records? Where do we find that here location-wise in Miami?
Okay, an important thing I want to mention is that you can find me on the web at CourtneyOdom.com. I'm sure we'll have thepopularrecords.com, but right now everything funnels through CourtneyOdom.com. And my husband and I, we do perform here locally, and that has been one of the most beautiful things about our journey as we got here. We started to play together in ways that we hadn't before, and we both love classic 70s country. So we play gigs around here, which we'll be playing in the Bullion Plaza on the 20th of January, and that is from 6:30 to 7:30. Just got to plug that. But it's a great combination. My husband's so tall, he's got this nice low voice, and I've always been a big fan of Loretta Lynn and try to maybe sound in similar vein. But that is something that you can find in Miami regularly. We play as often as we can. And you can find the Popular Records through CourtneyOdom.com. And keep an eye out for the Popular Records is going to have their first big release in February. And that will be an EP by a band, Trippy Steps. And that's going to be a band that I started with a gentleman named Frederick Baldacci, or Yaseo from Berlin. It's the work of my life. I'm very excited about that EP. And so you should keep an ear out if you like Bjork or any of that 90s alternative glitchy stuff.
Oh, my goodness. What a blast. Thank you so much for spending your morning with us, or the few minutes.
I was like, it's a dangerous thing what you just said.
I love it. You did perfect. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.